Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Malachi, chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 6 through 14. Malachi 1, 6 through 14. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. This reading speaks to the sin of the priest. Malachi 1, 6 through 14. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts, to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gate, that you might not uselessly kindle fire upon my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. From the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring that which was taken by robbery, and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler, who is a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations.
After that reading and what John said this morning, if anybody's subject to the invitation, come on up. We pretty much covered it all, but if you didn't get the message, what he was trying to say to us, but we're talking about blemished offering. And you think, what's that got to do? He says, I will not accept it. If you bring something that's blemished, I will not accept it. Plain as day, as John spoke this morning, give it our best. You say, how does it got anything to do with us? And the thing that is, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing for him to ask us. We are the sacrifice nowadays. Used to be animals, now it's us. What we bring to God is us. We brought. How many of you this morning before you left the house thought about that? Is my sacrifice prepared for God this morning? I don't think any of us probably did because it's something we just don't think about. But we are that sacrifice. And are we prepared? This morning, when we left the house, we combed our hair, my little shower, we did this and that, but did we prepare us saying, I'm giving God the very best. I'm anxious to go and give God the very best today because he won't accept anything less. That's something to think about as we get started here this morning. And it's a good morning for everybody. We have a very good welcome. Just grab a hold and hang on. For a second. After listening to a lot, in my time, I had plenty of time to listen to the sermons, but thanks for Harvey, we can watch on the internet. And I've discovered after listening to sermon after sermon after sermon, that no matter how hard the preacher tries, we're just not listening. We are not listening. If we were listening, we would be growing. And if you can tell me you're growing, then great. I'm not saying I'm not a good anybody. But this is the thing, this is a lesson that you're going to have to ask yourself. Listen to it and ask yourself. It pleased God by the foolishness of preachers. We've got to save those that believe. We all claim we believe. We all feel like, hey, we believe in God. Just like John said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But then we come out here with a blemished sacrifice. We come out here not what we can do, but just what we're willing to do. What we're willing to give God this morning, that's all we're willing to give. And God will have to accept it. Or, you know, that's just our point of view. And that's the wrong point of view. And that's the purpose of my writing this morning. Why don't we understand? Why don't we hear and understand and put into practice what the preacher tells us every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, when we know positively that it's the truth, it's the Word of God. But yet, we, you know, it just falls off, and we're not maturing. And the pessimist John talks about Paul says, we're not maturing. And we should mature. And we read the book of Hebrews, I think it's the 6th chapter, and realize that. We don't have the fear and the reverence. We often use the word, we just to throw away the word fear and use the word reverence. Fear means reverence. Reverence means fear. We got that. But it's also separate, and we must realize it is separate. This is what the psalmist said. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Psalm 89:6. Since we're hard of hearing, let me say it again. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Greatly to be feared and to be held in reverence all them that are about him. And getting greater than that. Why don't we remember? Why is this like a board in our head? We came before God this morning. We brought a sacrifice. And we need, we came in here, are we fearing God? Are we reverencing God when we come in here? Is that the sacrifice we brought? If it is, great. If not, shame on us. I'm going to go through what a Sunday morning service could be to some people. And I'm not just talking to people here, I'm talking to people on the world wide web that might like to see it. If they fit you like the bed, shame on you. Don't they? First thing we do here at our congregation is pray. And it's not always being enthusiastically. People, you ask somebody to pray, no, they get somebody else. People are not really encouraged, anxious to have the privilege of speaking to God on behalf of the congregation. It's a privilege, says God. And it's hard to find people that's willing to do that. Some people might have the idea there's a definition of prayer. If someone who might or might not want to get up and says something, it doesn't matter what, we just need to get it done and feel this slot in our worship service. The next thing we do is Bible study. It doesn't matter to many that God says that if you want to see, approved by God, like Timothy 2:15, that we must study to fill ourselves. But he says, God says that. We don't have to question who said that. God said that. If you want to be approved, study. It doesn't matter to us that John 12:48 says that the word is going to either condemn us or put us on that list of life. It doesn't matter to anyone. Just read the verse, move on, we finish up, and then we'll start all over again. Just keep moving. Don't take time to study. I'm not talking about the John doing a great job. But then after that, we sing. But at least some of us do. as it seems a matter to some, that God says that Daniel can go out and crucifix him, and he can supply a fourth thing, make him a joyful noise to the Lord. Psalm 66:1-2.
Reveal.
He wants to, if you might say it, in so many people, but they don't really care whether they sing to God or to us. You know, we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another. And, I just don't care about God. I don't care whether I teach it or not. I don't care whether God listens or not. That's the view of so many people. I'm here, unprepared, and sacrifice is not prepared. Is that true or not? Ask yourself. If you're not doing what God tells you to do, you should bring the proper sacrifice. Next in our service, someone else gets to stand up and say prayer. After that, we get to a preacher. The preacher is the longest thing we have to say prayer. We have to sit through that from time to 30 minutes or so. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. Sometimes it gets very loud. And sometimes he speaks very slowly. He tries to shame us. He even sometimes he spells things O-U-T. Just like in Bible study, though, we just want him to finish up his last verse and let's get on with it. It's not hard to see we're not growing. No matter how hard he tries, he can't say anything. No matter, even though we know this God's word, that will make us decide we're going to go out there and grow. We're going to come back tomorrow, or tonight, a better person. Next, we go into an invitation song. After the preaching song, we're going to go into the invitation song. This is to invite the lost to come to God. 99% of the time, people just ignore it. They won't listen. Those who know they're lost seem to be content with being lost. Well, I don't know. Maybe they think they're just fine. But they're not. The truth of it is that people's having a problem. They either they're content to be lost, or else they won't come forward and ask for the prayer because either they don't believe in the power of prayer, or they don't want people to know they need prayer. And that's terrible because prayer has so much power. Now that that's over with, we bring another song. This one's supposed to get people's mindset for the Lord's Supper. Someone will read Acts 27, 1 Corinthians 11, or Matthew 26, or maybe even Isaiah 53. It doesn't matter what they read, but just get it done, get it over with, and be done with it. Now we come to the collection. Women upon the first day of the week. Who? Let every one of you. That? Is that hard to understand? Every one of you. Let every one of you what they buy in the store. Give. As it is as possible. 1 Corinthians 16:2. That is something that you've got to wonder about. There's so many people that treat the collection like it's a hot potato. Did you come prepared for your sacrifice to God? Did you bring your whole self? Are you giving your whole self? And good luck sometimes finding that cheerful giver. I'm here, I know I'm supposed to give money, I will put it in the clutter. Even though I need it very, very badly, I will do it. That must be the acceptable sacrifice that God's looking for. He's wanting this cheerful giver we talked about. He's wanting someone that knows that this money's not wasted, this money is sent for the good of the growth of God's word itself. And what is the sacrifice today? Is he come prepared? People just don't seem to feel like God's talking to them. And everything you have, the clothes on your back, the breath coming into your lungs, is stuck inside of you. And we are so tight about giving God back. Now it's kind of time for the last call. We don't want to worry about teaching and modeling again. Let's just make it short. Set it short and get out of here. One more prayer and we've done our duty. Probably, though, it's a good idea to pop up back there and tell the church they've done their job. What's my point? No matter what our circumstances may be in life, and we all are different people, we all have our problems, we all deal with them, hopefully with God's help. But God is looking the best today. He has listened to each and every one of us as he knows what kind of sacrifice we brought today. And that's what counts. No matter how different we are, that sacrifice better be the very best we've offered. The very best we brought him today. If not, shame on us. If not, we better do better because, as Brother Mickey wrote, praying there, he is not going to accept what he offered. He will not accept it because no matter how much we said here, how much we raise these doors here and listen and sit and listen and listen and listen, if we don't put it into action, he will not accept it. Who give us permission to decide the Christians don't have to grow? Why is it adding to our faith very important about this? Peter said in 2 Peter 1:5. Have we forgotten what Peter said in 1 and 9? Have we forgotten that we were cleansed from our sins? Have we already forgot that? John mentioned that also this morning. How did we feel when we were cleansed? Do we feel the same way now? Do we feel anxious to say, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about Jesus and what he did for me. Let me tell you what you have to know. And what I'm telling you right now is, you have to be that perfect sacrifice. Think about it. You're laying here on the slab, ready to be sliced up for whatever the man will. Just a thought. And God looks at you and says, no. That's not good enough. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Get me something else. Get me something that's really good enough for me. I am God. And that's what we've got to think about when we come here the other day. You might have the idea, well, I go to church, even though I don't want to. I love my neighbors, at least those that are nice to me, and leave me alone. I might speak evil from people, but not the ones that's nice. I might not go and teach somebody about God, but if they want to talk to me, all they have to do is let me know. Is that sacrificing? Or really? Is that a good sacrifice? Is that acceptable to God? Yeah, I'm just asking yourself. But we forgot this commandment that the duty, the whole duty of God is what I heard. Ecclesiastes 12:13, and that we're supposed to follow every word that was taken out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. Anyone who thinks that their half-hearted, blemished sacrifice is acceptable, he's got a terrible thing coming when Christ comes, or when we leave this earth. It ain't nothing, it's not going to be good. It's time to straighten us. I want to preach this so bad, but we need it. We need to understand. We need to understand. Many are going to be called, but few are chosen, and that's why you bring in bad sacrifices. You come through this door, not even prepared. You say, hey, whatever I got, God, it's yours. take me. I'm not going to try to be better. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm giving you what I'm willing to give you. A lot of people sit back and I think that grace. And we do a lot of things on grace, and then grace. Grace will save. Well, let me tell you what poor grace steps in. Grace steps in after you've done the very best you can. Grace steps in to save you because you're not worth saving. But that's after you've done the best you can. You can't just go along and say, hey, what I am, you got. Grace is going to take it. Grace will not save you if that's your attitude. Grace steps in after you've done the best you can, and God says, hey, I love what he's done, or she's done, and I'm going to take care of that with grace. I'm going to bring him the rest of the way with grace in my heart. That's what you've got to understand. The Bible says absolutely nothing about working for salvation, but it says a whole lot about working the call for faith. God, listen to this. For we are here, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Unto good works, which hath God ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 and 10. We are created. We were created, made for good works. We weren't set here just to go wild and do our own thing and think they can be merry. We were created for good works. Worship God, bring a perfect sacrifice to God. When the time comes that he calls me, I better be as perfect as I can be, not because I earned it, but I've tried my very best, and then that grace will cover me the rest of the way. Thank God for that. We're supposed to show our faith by our works, James 2:18. We need to think about it. Show our faith by our works. James 2:18. Is there anything wrong with our faith until, you know, because the fact we cannot work, we don't want to show our work, we don't want to do what we were created for, so is that faith something wrong with our faith? That's for you to think about. Look at that. Very important to think about. We're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing. What pleases him? Being fruitful. In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, Colossians 1 and 10. We call him Lord, Lord. Luke 6:46, that we dishonor him when we come through this door with a blemished sacrifice. God says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You know that he bounds it up and casteth it in a part of hell. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purchases that it may bring forth what? More fruit. God, yes, but you don't just put it out there on our own. He says, I developed you to bear fruit. You bear fruit, and I'm going to help you make more fruit. John 15:2. Jesus put it just about as plain as anybody can say, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be not my disciples. John 15:9. That you bear much fruit. How many times would I have to read? I can get paid. I can get probably 15 or 20 pages. And God's saying, bear much fruit. Bear more fruit. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Where is your fruit? Did you bring your fruit today? Just hang it on with it. Calling myself disciples of Christ or Christians doesn't make it so. God wants fruit. Here's the fruit that God wants fruit. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the fruit of you, whether you be obedient in all things. That's 17. Paul wrote to Corinth, said, hey, I'm looking for fruit. Are y'all obedient in all things? Not just a few things. Did you just come in here with a half part of that part? No, he said, I want to know that you're obedient in all things. Paul was taught. Paul taught. These people are supposed to obey all things. How many of us could say we're even trying to obey all things? Yeah, you know. That's another sermon. We would create our own God. And my God will let me do this, and my God will let me do this. And that's not true. We have created something that's false. Will he accept your sacrifice today? That's a question that only you know. Will he accept what you brought here today? So far, what have you brought here today? He's judging so far what you brought, and he will judge the rest of what you brought. So you go out this door, you still have the opportunity to make sure that sacrifice is good. We're commanded to examine ourselves when we. I don't know about y'all, but how often do you examine yourself? Do you really take time to say, I'm needing a little help here, and I'm needing a little help there. Lord, please help me. Where do I go to find this help? Who can put me on the right track? We're supposed to examine ourselves, and that's something that's very important to do. We're commanded to do that in 2 Corinthians 13:5. We don't examine ourselves by our own opinion of ourselves, because sometimes that is very high, and it's not true. God says, for not you that commandeth himself is approved, but who the Lord commandeth. 2 Corinthians 13:18. It's not without commanding myself, hey, I'm good enough. It's who the Lord says. Is this sacrifice good enough? The Lord says, I'll do the best I can with it. The Lord says whether it's good enough. Not me. Always when you examine yourself by what God says. Am I doing what God says? Here's the answer to the thing. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. We know this is told us in Simon Jesus. And pray that perhaps the thought of your mind, so your heart might be forgiven you. That's Acts 8:22. If that's our opinion, if any sacrifice we bring is good enough, we need to pray for forgiveness and what our heart. And pass away from you all the transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, says the Lord God. Wherefore, arm yourself and live. Straighten up. It's not too late to straighten up. Straighten up. Make that sacrifice right. Prepare to meet that God. That's a good song. That was Ezekiel 18:31-32. We're all going to have judgment. But judgment day is coming. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not. John saw it. John had evidence of it. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, that we talked about earlier this morning. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. We are at the judgment. You're judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it. And they were judged every man according to their work. Revelation 20:12-13. In conclusion, I want to say many of you come here regularly and be condemned. Why? I don't know. Perhaps you feel your soul divided. If so, that's something coming up that you're not going to like. Unfortunately, those satisfied that whatever they give to God is good enough. There's no place in heaven for neither. If you don't believe that, look at the scriptures. It will tell you plain. You're not good enough when you're given blemish sacrifice. You're not going to heaven if you keep leaving your condemned. Whatever your taste is, it's wrong. In conclusion, we use the same thing that Jeff used. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16:16. John says in John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of his only Son, about the Son of God. You're probably not going to come up here. You're probably going to leave here condemned and messed up. But I got to say, the purpose of this sermon what to tell you. Don't step back and think you're good enough. Make that sacrifice better. Make that sacrifice that when you come in this back door, God looks at you and says that person is doing the best they can. They brought the very best to today. And then, in the end, grace will fail us. Put things right with God. Come on up here and do the right thing while we stand in front.